Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
JB has done an incredible job at redecorating the rugby dungeon.
It's getting there, isn't it?
Phil, how would you describe this redecoration effort?
It's very good. I'm very impressed by Jay.
I've got my American sports wall, which is pretty sparse at the moment. Behind us, we've got a shirt signed by Rob Shaw. Sorry, a shirt signed by Rob Shaw, which I'm struggling to say. And I think on display I've got 40 different badges.
It feels like a place to do rugby, which is why it was all the more disappointing when, as we walked into the rugby dungeon, JB decided to start a conversation about the 90s chick flick Clueless.
What was that man doing allowing a predatory son-in-law to hang around his teenage daughter? Mental.
You watched it this weekend, Jay?
Last night, actually, after a few beers.
As you do. Right, let's get on with this then. The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Well, we've had a big weekend of Premiership Rugby. And we're looking ahead to, and Pro 12, and we're looking ahead to a big weekend. We're looking ahead to a big weekend of European rugby. So from the rugby dungeon here, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, we'll try and sort you out, we'll furnish you with some of the best rugby action of the last week and chat about what's to come. I'm Tim. Phil's here.
Hi, Tim.
There's JB.
Hello, Tim.
You can find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can listen on the Acast app or listen on iTunes and subscribe there and leave us your ratings and whatnot. We really appreciate it. So where should we start? Andy Guterre?
It's looking good, I think.
Yeah, he's got a new lid, and
did we not discuss this last week?
No, not last week. We discussed it the first weekend of the season.
When it was all kind of patchy and
when he still had it
fresh.
Long at the back, how Andy Good did, but he just...
Why would he change it? It's a winning formula.
But he got a new...
change a winning team.
Well, it is. It's interesting. I quite like the fact that in maverick fashion, Andy Good just never seemed bothered. It's like, yeah, so what? I'm losing it on the front. I'm just going to grow it really long at the back.
Yeah, kind of like compensation sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I've got the same amount of hair as everyone else. It's just
in different proportions,
distributed slightly differently.
Exactly right.
And also, he was a bit of a maverick in the sense that he was like, "Yeah, whatever. I'll wear gloves 10 years after they've gone out of fashion."
And there's not many players left now that wear gloves, but I can't think of any. The occasional winger.
Yeah, but he's Andy Good. I worked at the Bath game with Andy Good for BT Sport. Where?
Ooh, what's he like in person?
Oh, he's...
How's he smell?
He's every bit what you would hope he would be as one of your heroes, JB.
Amazing. Amazing.
Andy Good.
Insightful character?
Yes, and he explained the procedure. Now they extract individual hairs from the back of your head because that's where you never lose it. If you go bald, you never lose the hair at the very back. And then they just implant it into the front of your head.
Hang on. You had access to one of the most technically and strategically gifted minds of a generation, and you wanted to talk to him about hair regrowth, and you've got a full head of hair. You're right, if I was asking him, it's such an inane conversation.
Yeah, fair enough, you got a point there. The best description of Andy Good's old haircut, I saw someone describe it as, was a skullet.
I think that was a South African.
What do you mean?
It was as in the South African commentators came up with a skullet, or at least it was,
when he was playing.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's had some career.
Yeah.
He's been everywhere. France, South Africa, Super Rugby.
And he's another one of your heroes, JB, your rugby heroes, who has left the game, you would say, prematurely. So Andy Good's left. Sir Charlie is retiring. Jacques Berger is retiring.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
I hope Stuart Hooper gets back from his injury and has a long and illustrious career still in the engine room of second row, because he's another one of your heroes, JB.
Oh, and he'll be at the battle for many a year.
And I hope Miles Benjamin gets back and fit.
Oh, Miles will be fit, ready for Six Nations.
But you've got a new hero, haven't you?
Who's my new hero? Come on.
Nev.
Oh, Nev! My God, right, okay, so Nev, yeah.
Neville Edwards.
Well, for a start, wonderful name, because the last professional sporting Neville was Neville Southall, who actually likes to keep pigeons. That's a little fact for you about Neville Southall. Now, what I like about Nev is he's great at going forward. Did you see his two tries? The first one was sublime, arguably more Danny than him, but still.
For Sale Sharks, this was,
in case you missed it. The two, isn't
yeah.
it?
So, well, the background... It described it as telepathic at one point, which I've got, suspicions about. But the other thing about Nev, which I really like, is under a high ball, he looks like a man who's just about starting a 1,000-piece jigsaw. He really has no idea what's going on.
The Nev Edwards background, if you're not aware, he was training for free with Sale Sharks in pre-season, impressed in the Sevens tournament, and managed to get himself his first professional contract at the age of 27.
Good for him. It is a really good story, and that's kind of what I like.
Yeah, I'll go with that. We've got a massive weekend of rugby ahead, but where should we start in terms of looking at the rugby just gone?
Should we start with the best game, in my opinion?
You're talking Wasps?
Wasps, Exeter.
Oh, yeah, but with no opinion. And also, we shouldn't go on with the rugby without saying what a disappointment as England fans, and just Slade. Fans of rugby, to see Henry Slade with a serious suspected
How
broken...
How serious is this? Because I've heard it's a broken leg, but on the other hand, they put him in like a compression boot and he walked off. On crutches.
Oh, I just think he's absolutely nails. He's got a level of toughness we didn't realise Henry Slade had, because a broken leg, you'd think you'd have oxygen.
I've also heard it's a bone in his ankle, though, rather than a broken...
It looked... The very first shot, which they didn't really do any replays, did they, because it was so nasty, the very first shot looked bad. But he was sitting up smiling. And you just wonder, is he in shock?
Yeah,
people react differently to, because that is a major trauma. It looks a bad injury.
Do you know what I think should be outlawed? I know they've outlawed the crocodile roll on the neck, just in general.
Well, yeah, no, because the crocodile roll is illegal. They particularly focused on the neck roll in the World Cup. But again, I've not seen the replays, but it looked like a crocodile roll.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised more people aren't talking about this, because there's
John
de Villiers, Reese Webb. And now Henry Slade, high-profile players.
See, I understand
an illegal act.
When something is dangerous, I understand, and it must stop. When things aren't dangerous, well, you just got to crack on. And yep. I think it's more a perception of danger rather than actual danger. So they will always penalise anything around the head, despite there being very few high-profile incidents where people get knocked out or that kind of thing. With the crocodile roll, there's been three international class players, one of which could have been career-ending. It just needs to go. Ruck should be able... You can push forwards, or you can pull the opposition backwards, but you can't use torque in order to win a ruck.
It's the rotation, isn't it? And then using your body weight, the rotation and the body weight. But that was a horrible moment in a brilliant game.
Otherwise, brilliant game.
One of my favourite games of the year, this.
Yeah.
The way...
Well, there hasn't been... Like, in the Premiership, there haven't been many good games...
I feel like this is like maybe the first weekend where all the teams are finally over their World Cup hangover.
Oh, I don't know. Let's ask Mike Ford that.
If
Bath are. I don't know about that.
Now, what Wasps needed here was Christian Wade, because they were obviously short of about three or four tries. So that's a solution to this. Not better defence, more attack.
Have we been guilty of talking up Wasps too much?
No.
Maybe along with other people?
We've been guilty of not taking Exeter seriously enough.
I don't think that's true. I think we've been talking Exeter up as potential winners and our favourites for top four.
We've only said top four. I don't think anyone's ever said... Well, you for start haven't said they'd win, because you said Bath would win.
I didn't say that they would win. I said potential. Well, picking them in the top four, I think you're picking them as a potential winner, aren't you?
Yeah. Exeter, definitely. And I'd still say Wasps, because Wasps rested a few players here. The back row, they rested Nathan Hughes and James Haskell.
Yeah,
so
huge.
That is massive. The amount of work that those two get through and the carrying.
And the amount of banter they get through.
Oh, but the replacement isn't actually stellar. It's a guy, what's his face?
Guy Thompson and Sam Jones.
The eight that got ceremoniously picked up and thrown on the floor by none other than Freddie Michalak. So do your own maths on that one.
Did you see part of the motivation for Thomas Waldrum and part of the reason maybe he got a hat trick was he's allowed extra chocolate biscuits?
Wow.
I saw Rob Baxter say that now that he scored 3 tries, we'll see if the dietitian allows him some extra chocolate biscuits.
Well, this is the same Thomas the Tank that told us his cheat meal was a chicken dinner, which is probably the best nutritional cheat meal I've ever heard of.
Cheat meals go.
Yeah.
Mind you, it depends what you're having.
Very diligent. Fried chicken.
Fried chicken covered in like sticky toffee sauce.
Exactly.
Something like that. That's not a great balance.
Anyone that was still maybe doubting that Exeter weren't the real deal can take a look at that performance.
Exeter definitely top 4 the way things are going for me.
It's just, do you know what gets me? It's the sheer amount of points that they scored. I mean, that is really impressive.
4 tries in the first half, weren't they? Mm. Bonus point in the first half. And then Wasps very gallantly came back into it after probably the hairdryer treatment from Dai Young. Ultimately, Exeter just had too much up front and a bit too much out wide.
I can't believe that the hashtag live fast, die young. I can't believe that we invented that.
Did we?
I don't
know. Well, Bernie did. I used it last night.
Phil used it on Twitter and it got a great response from our followers on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. And it made me chuckle. But did you just come up with that, or someone must have done that before, have they?
Me and Jay, ages ago, I tweeted this during the World Cup. Me and Jay were talking about it was George North's concussions. And Jay kind of said, I don't really care if he has 10 concussions and can't drive a car by the time he's 40, providing he scores 100 international tries for Wales. To which my response was obviously, well, live fast, die young.
Very good, very good. Yeah, actually, I don't care as long as he does score 100 tries for Wales. What do we need him for? What does he need himself for?
Oh, dearie me.
So how was your game at the Gardens, Tim?
It wasn't at the Gardens, it was at the Rec.
It was at the Gardens, sorry.
I was reporting for BT Sport. It was an interesting one. So Bath and Northampton both going into that game, after Friday night's match, they were in 8th and 9th position.
Yeah.
And now, put it in perspective, Northampton last season finished top of the table in regular season and only lost 5 games, and they'd already lost 3 in their first 5 matches. Same number of defeats for Bath. Bath are now staring down the barrel with 4 defeats, 2 at home. Mike Ford, I posed the question, I said, you know, you lost your points from personal errors and scrum penalties, maybe things you can control. And he went for the referee and was absolutely livid about the way that the scrummaging was refereed.
But it was things that they could control, like you say. And so he needs to focus on those elements rather than blaming the referee, really.
Well, it was also Luther Burrell's birthday yesterday.
Was
today,
it?
Today. Which will neatly link into why George North gift wrapped
George
him.
Ford.
Gift George
Ford.
Yeah. Oh, what am I doing? George Ford gift wrapped him a pass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that was a very avoidable defeat by Bath.
By the way, next time you look at Luther Burrell on a field, have a look. He's got incredibly long shins.
Sorry?
I know it's an odd observation, but I noticed during
long
the game
shins.
His shins are really like disproportionately long.
Wow. So,
isn't your brother, one of your brother's nicknames, Shinzy?
Shinzy is my brother's nickname because his shins are ridiculous.
That's a ridiculous nickname.
His Shinzy.
My new nephew
is just about a month old now.
Long shins.
He's got ridiculous shins.
Wow.
Yeah. To be honest, it's not something I normally notice.
I've never noticed anyone's shins.
Well, you will now, next time you see Big Loof.
When I meet your brother now, I'm just not going to be able to take my eyes off his shins. It's going to be weird for him.
Well, listen, right, let's go back to Northampton Bath, because Northampton had young English front row players that dominated, or at least had the ascendancy, and just they laid the foundation for that Northampton win. And
yeah.
Kieran Brooks is a ridiculous specimen.
He's huge, isn't he?
He's huge. Scrummaging, though. Because he's not really any bigger than Henry Thomas.
But
oh, he is.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. He's huge.
Henry Thomas is huge as well.
Yeah, Henry Thomas is huge, but Kieran Brooks is like a silverback. He's you know how silverback gorillas have like almost the smallest part of their body is the top of their head, and it just gets bigger as it goes down. That's what Kieran Brooks is like.
Continually wider to the base.
He's neck is wider than his head and his shoulders.
Most people's necks are wider than their heads, you know.
I don't
Sorry,
know.
Neck.
No.
Sorry, shoulders.
No,
yeah,
neck.
Shoulders.
Neck. Please cut that out. I'm having a mare today.
No.
I'm having an absolute mare.
The Waller brothers.
Yeah.
Mike Hayward. Yeah. Kieran Brooks. Paul Hill.
Corbisiero is out.
Knee surgery again.
Now, wasn't this what Brian Smith said to everyone?
Yeah, about three seasons ago he said he's got a regenerative knee problem and he's done kind of thing.
Mm.
But we speculated whether that was just Brian Smith trying to keep hold of him, not have loads of clubs coming after him, or whether it was the truth. Since then, he's been injured an awful lot, hasn't he?
Pretty much constantly. I think his last game was England-France.
Yeah.
And before that, I don't know how many games he had. It wasn't many. It's like 14 games prior to that.
In 2 years.
Northampton can cope. Bath, what do they do?
I don't know. The league's not done. Because of the playoff system, you've always got a chance of getting into the top four. And they will. They will come back into it in some form. Now, Europe is also important because they face Wasps twice now. And two big defeats against Wasps would be terrible for the entire club.
Mm.
So I think it's a great opportunity for them to bounce back. They're not in a terrible situation. They've already beaten Leinster. And I think what they need is confidence. The other thing I think as well is, if this continues, Mike Ford is definitely on the hot seat.
He's built up a lot of credit over the past few years, but it's how long can it go? And I mean, at the moment, they're sitting in ninth in the Premiership. Just say he didn't make Champions Cup next year. Say he doesn't make top four, which I don't think he will as things stand. Say he doesn't make Champions Cup.
The minimum target for Bath would be top four. That would be the minimum.
Absolutely. Start of the season, they would have said, we want to win. We want to go one better.
We're winning.
We've got the players. Yeah. We've got the players. We've got the experience. We can win it. Top four is... they'd actually see that as probably a defeat. If they just got to the semi-finals, that's a loss. So not to make top four is big.
Would you agree with me that when you watch Bath, almost more than any other team, they rely on the talent of their individuals to do something magic? And as soon as you close them down, they don't have structure and they don't have...
Well, I don't know.
That's why they're fun to watch.
I don't know. I think they've been quite similar to how Northampton play in a lot of... Their set piece, their forward pack...
Last season have
been just the basis, and then they've got the stardust they sprinkle on top.
They had that really solid base, and it allowed them to play a bit more in the backs and allowed them to use that star potential. They've not consistently had that up front platform, and then George Ford's form hasn't been great, and so he's not been given the opportunities for the men outside of him.
Imagine if Reece Priestland gets a start at 10. And Ford gets dropped to the bench. It's over for Bath right there. It's done.
Saracens keep rolling on.
Oh, I love watching Saracens now. They're becoming quickly one of my new favourite teams.
It was funny earlier. Let me just explain. JB put a bet on the game today. What was your bet, JB?
Okay, I don't understand betting. That's the first thing I'm going to say here. So I wanted to bet to say that Saracens were going to win by more than 21 points. That's what I hoped. Anyway, what I ended up doing is saying they're going to win between 21 and 25 points.
So with a few minutes on the clock, me and Phil were down here in the rugby dungeon just getting ready, and we could
hear... 3 minutes on the clock.
3 minutes on the clock. We could hear JB upstairs, and all we heard was... No!
No, 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 no!
No, no! And the intercept try meant that your bet was lost.
And then they scored again! Amazingly.
Yeah.
So in 3 minutes, they scored two tries. I tell you what, they are such a good team. They're not underrated because everyone knows that they're a good team, but they're underappreciated.
And people, I was listening to BBC Radio Newcastle on 5 Live Extra when I was driving to the second half, and the commentators were quite negative about the way they play and say it's attritional, pragmatic rugby.
It's nothing like that.
But we don't see it as a negative. It's a positive because they play this brilliant game where it's analytical. And they play in the right part of the pitch, and they create the platform for them to score some good tries.
I mean, they had a period of play where Newcastle had the ball for 16 phases, and Newcastle went from the halfway line to maybe the 10-metre line and then back to halfway line. And Saracens just looked so comfortable and controlled. Watching Saracens, it looked like they've been there a million times before. Like, they practice this over and over again. They know what's coming and they just don't care. They fill the field.
You completely forgot to play your sound effect, JB. There you go.
There you go.
It's how rugby's been played forever. Territory, and then you open up and go for it in the right area. George, look, if you want to see... Yes. If you want to see the effect of what happens when you try and deviate from that, yes, it can work out, but equally, Luther Burrell can canter in unopposed under your post and score a try, which wins the game against Bath.
Well, this all comes from, I think, this RFU madness where they say, just play what's in front of you. Like they're some sort of, you know, high-functioning, autistic rugby savants. And they're simply not. it's got to be played down in the opposition's half, and that's the end of it.
I have played in teams. You've played in a team, Phil, where that was very much not the philosophy. I've played in a team at Newbury. I think it was in National One at the time, and Ben Ryan had a very, very different philosophy. Is he still with Fiji as sevens coach? Yeah, so he's a former England sevens coach. Anyway,
that's not the easiest job in the world. I do not know what is.
Comfortably won the Dubai Sevens this weekend.
Did
did he even go, or did he just send the team?
And his whole philosophy was, we're doing this for fun. There was a little bit of pocket money, but you know, that's not. We're doing this for fun. So let us enjoy ourselves. And it was go. If you see it, go.
Oh, well, there's no coach in the history of the world that's ever said, if you see it, don't go. That's true by definition. If it's on, play it.
Graham Dorr, former Plymouth Albion coach, front five player, running with the ball. It was outlawed. It was no. it was actually outlawed.
And look for contact.
It was look for contact. It was kick the ball into the corner and then the 15-man maul. He was the guy that sort of pioneered the 15-man maul.
Wow. Forward thinking, because men dare to dream.
Yeah.
Did anyone watch the Leicester-Worcester game? Or has anyone seen the extended highlights?
I have seen the highlights,
I've seen some highlights of that. That was... by the way, because you mentioned the BBC... Before we get onto that one, you mentioned the BBC commentary team. I listened to... On the way back from Bath, I listened to the Exeter commentators on BBC Sports Extra. And they sound like they don't know any player that doesn't play for Exeter Chiefs. They called... Solosi Tangi Thakinbau. Yeah. They called him Sally... Tau Thau. I'm not making it up. You can listen back if you are inclined to check. That's what the BBC Exeter or BBC Devon commentators called him. And Charles Piatau was Charles Pau Tau or Charles Pitau, they called him a lot of the time. Anyway, so it really annoyed me because every time Tangi Thakinbau got it, it was Tau Thau. Sorry, Jay.
Did you see the yellow cards for Donoghue O'Callaghan?
O'Callaghan. He got two
yellow cards equaling a red. The second one was a nailed on yellow
card.
Was
it for just extreme banter?
Well, maybe, actually. So one of them was for collapsing a wall. To me, 100% yellow card.
And it was 5 yards out, was it?
Yeah.
Now,
that's a yellow card.
The first one that he got was apparently for leading with his head into a ruck. Which, you know, I mean, it doesn't hit anyone. It looks like he's dry humping someone. Because he's just kind of grinding on the top of this player. And what on earth is he doing? So, extreme banter, yeah, I'll give him that. Extreme banter. He looks insane. Because I think what they're saying is he's trying to headbutt a Leicester player somewhere. But in doing so, he's rubbing his whole body up and down. Very, very odd.
Maybe just keep him warm. It was another cold day. Yeah.
But this, until that red card... Worcester were in the ascendancy. It's 20 points to 12 up.
But they played a whole half, effectively, with only 14 men. Because they had four yellow cards plus a red, I think.
Four yellows.
I think Cox went. Milasinovic?
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Milasinovic?
He did a better job than BBC Devon.
Mills
off. Commentary team would have done.
Mills 8. They scored two tries in the last 10, including... one in the 79th minute to take the bonus point away.
Chris Robshaw met with Yoda, Eddie Jones.
Did he?
After the game, they had a little chat, apparently. Oh. Eddie Jones said it was one of his first jobs when he finally got to England was to have a chat with Chris Robshaw.
Well, I mean, you've got to sack your captain soon, right? Clear your desk.
P45.
But Quinns again. In fact, let's just have a little pause and we'll talk about some other games in a bit.
Let's have a pause for two things.
Yeah.
What you're going to do, and also you might notice there's a suspicious package on the table.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
Do I need to get some festive music?
I'll get the music, Tim.
No. Sorry, I've got... I'm going to get the theme tune from Home Alone.
Oh, nice.
Oh, very...
If it's what
very
I think
good.
It is.
I think it might be what you think it is, Tim.
It's Wonderful Stolen.
I've been baking this weekend.
Yes, Phil, thank you.
There you go, I have a slice for you,
slice
Tim.
Of Stolen from Phil.
And a slice for you, JB.
Lovely, lovely, nice bit of marzipan chunk in the middle there.
Mmm.
Mmm. That's excellent. It really is excellent.
No.
That Stolen, Phil, is wonderful.
Thank you, Tim.
Mmm. That's really good.
Man, you're very good at this. Man, considering you only do it once a year.
Mmm.
Mmm. Now people have got to hear us eating.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what.
Now, JB, you would have liked this. The recipe actually recommended that this is served with molten butter. Poured all over it.
I don't know a single thing which shouldn't be served with molten butter.
It's like that question. It's a good question. Can you think of any food that isn't improved by the addition of cheese?
Mm.
There's nothing really. Molten butter's pretty much the same.
Mm.
Yeah, agreed.
Chuck a bit of butter on it and it's
infinitely
better.
Molten butter works both sweet and savoury.
Mm.
Because cheese doesn't always work with the sweet.
Oh, it does.
It doesn't always.
Not always.
Not always.
Cheesecake?
Cheesecake, definitely.
Well, how about a slice of cheese on apple pie? Try that.
Yeah, they do that in Lancashire, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And also, they have cheese on fruitcake.
Fruitcake. Yeah.
That is weird, but somehow I, you know,
Wednesdaydale with fruitcake.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, what I have for you... is some... Right, OK, let me just set the scene, OK? So we've been talking for quite a while now, and it's our new sort of campaign, if you like. So we've had campaigns before where it was like, come on, get boots worn in promotional shots rather than trainers. So it just looks terrible when you wear a full rugby kit with trainers. And genuinely, and this isn't an exaggeration, we have actually changed rugby there because Canterbury, for example, insist all their players now wear boots as a result of our campaign. And others are catching on.
Super rugby kits that were launched this week. All the players were in boots.
Super rugby kits. And the Antipodeans, they've been the worst offenders at it.
Horrendous.
So we've changed rugby. We've also been saying, and I think we need like a slogan for this, but I don't know what it is, but it's like keep rugby tough or something like that.
Keep rugby tough.
Or something like that.
Okay.
It's not as good a hashtag as live fast, die young. But... as in Die Young the Wasp Boss, in case you... Because it works better written down. Anyway.
It definitely does work better written down.
But Brian Majati seems to be joining our campaign, if you like, complaining that rugby is going soft and that players are starting to dive in a way that footballers do. Just have a listen to what he had to say on his latest video diary.
A little bit worried about the wound. I've got a game in, like, 2 days, but it should be fine. Rugby's not so dangerous anymore anyway nowadays. Remember in rugby was a game where you ran around just trying to flirt people? Pretending they didn't hurt you. This is watermelon flavored. Nowadays, it's all about player welfare, health and safety. Don't touch his neck, that's dangerous.
I'm sorry, have you and Mujati been hanging out, JB?
Oh, I wish.
He only lives around the corner now.
He does, yeah. It's like me spotting him at like bench press.
good luck with that.
Building the wall together, you know, doing hunting.
So it does sound like a JB rugby manifesto.
Do you remember when breakdowns were like a Newton's
break? He put his own music to the back of it.
You what?
He obviously puts his own music to the back of it.
Yeah, yeah,
the production values are quite good.
Yeah.
I tell you, you've not lived until you've been aware at Loftus First Fall with your head in a ruck, screaming at the ref, he's holding on. And suddenly, out of nowhere, a certain 125 kilo second row comes flying in and hits you, you know, with that meaty part of his shoulder. Right on the back of the head.
The bony part of the shoulder,
isn't
it?
So hard that you spit out your mouth guard. And in that moment, you stick your head off the ruck, your eyes are all watering. And then you look up at the clock and you realize, shit, it's only been 10 minutes to the game. That was right.
You're talking about Dean Grayling there.
Sound like a game at Broughton Park, JB?
Pretty much identical.
How many 125 kg second rows have you got at BP?
Oh, three or four.
I remember a time when your Andrew Mertens and your Stephen Larkins were kicking up and under so high.
Is he high?
Pardon?
Is he high? It's just weird. The whole thing is weird because it's like rugby knowledge, but then interspersed with these little personal comments about, you know, how his protein shake tastes. And I don't care.
He's got to make money.
It's not even stolen.
And like nowadays, it's like whenever somebody kicks up an under or puts in a big hit, you'd swear there was a sniper in the stadium. His boys just go down and they stay down, waiting for the ref to come running along. Dangerous play, yellow card. I mean, people cheat so much. And then people say, oh, well, I don't watch football because of all the diving and cheating. Rugby's the same.
Wow, he's really on one here.
Yeah.
He's really on one. I hope Steve Diamond doesn't listen to this.
One thing I do like about rugby, and it's one of the elements that I would want to preserve, is that, you know, you watch BT Sport or whatever and you see the ex-players and even current players coming on and they have a laugh at Andy Gutierrez and at other things as well, at themselves.
Yep.
And you want people to have opinions and to be big characters, and he's a big character, big unit and a big character. I quite like that he's saying what he thinks.
He's maybe gone a little bit far on that, the diving and the play acting, because I'm not quite sure that's what I'm seeing to the extent that he's suggesting there.
And stylistically, I'm just not comfortable with his background music.
Yeah. Oh, we really should get Mooj on, shouldn't we?
Well, he doesn't seem like a guy that runs his runs his media through the Sale press office. I'm not going to lie.
I'll try and sort it out, boys. I'll try and sort it out.
You can sit there.
We'll try and get Mooj on. Yeah, if you can think of a good hashtag or a good campaign line for us, keep rugby tough. I don't know if that kind of captures the feeling of it anyway. That really was good stolen. Wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful. Was it not all right, JB? You haven't finished it?
I'm taking my time.
Okay. Right, before we go back to the rugby, we were going to do something with the hair, weren't we?
We're going to do a hair 15.
Yeah, so we mentioned Andy Goode at the very start with his skullet being gone, and he's got new... He's farmed the front of his head.
Farmed the back of... Harvested the back of his head.
And ploughed the front of his head with his hair. I'm sure there's some analogy that works there. But we loved his old haircut, where it was the skullet. Mullet at the back, skull at the front. And... So we were thinking, what are the best haircuts in rugby if we were going to pick a rugby 15, a hair 15? And as I say, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, get in touch with us and give us your suggestions, because undoubtedly we'll miss some. I think looking at another picture, and another thing we could maybe talk about is the Toulon centre pairing. Bastereau's hair at the minute would get him in with a shout. I don't know what you call that. It's like bald round the sides and the back, and then just... dreadlocks on top.
Yeah, I don't think Bastereau cares about anything though.
He looks like Booker T, the old wrestler.
Booker T would be devastated.
Yeah,
I mean, what is this Booker T after like 6 months on the road? And, you know,
Bastereau has just signed a new 5-year deal.
What?
Five years?
Five years?
What?
Virtually unheard of in rugby. If I was,
are they thinking of converting him to prop in 2 years? Or something like that?
Like Ashley Johnson, yeah. Move him up front. If I was the director of rugby in charge of Bastereau, you don't want him to get complacent. You want to literally and metaphorically keep him hungry. There's no good giving a 5-year deal, because he will just sit back, relax. I think this is a terrible, terrible idea.
Sorry. Well, if I was director of rugby for too long, I'd be tempted to make him my highest paid player. And I'm serious about this. I'd have a clause in his contract saying he can't be above 20% body fat.
Oh, yeah. I'd go for one of those clauses as well.
Yeah. So he has to weigh in every month. As soon as he has a pay decrease of about 20%.
When you see him stood next to Mar Nonu, his new centre partner at Toulon, you realise, you know, what a proper athletic specimen looks like.
He doesn't really limit Toulon, though, does he? And he's very, very unique. There's no one really else in the world that can do what he does. And when he's on form, I think he could possibly be the world's best centre.
I think that's a bit stretching a bit far.
I don't.
But he could still do that. Say he lost 15 kg... which, if he's 125 kg, he could still be the size of Mar Nonu if he lost 15 kg.
How many calories must he have? Because the amount of training they must do.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You shout, Fargar on toast.
Oh, that is calorie dense.
Mm.
It's beautiful.
Mm.
Love foie gras. Yes, sorry, none of you.
Yeah, hair 15. Let's go through it. So we're going to miss some, but our rugby podcast. So Joe Marler was my loose head.
Joe Marler, definitely. Front row is always tough because there's a lot of bald chaps in the front row.
Yes. But there's also,
we could do a bald 15 on another.
There's also a guy who plays for Tonga, whose name I do not know, and he has just a little patch at the back
with
a ponytail. Now, that is dedication.
Yeah.
Definitely him.
Joe Marler's good because he had head work shaved in, and then at one point he had Jolly Hog, which is Ollie Cohn's sausage company.
That's right.
He had a mohawk with Jolly Hog
and
shaved
into
the back.
And he's had it blue and everything.
And green.
Yeah, so Marler's in. And then
there's a lot of hookers.
Yeah, because Mullet-Dicky would have been in.
Not anymore. He looks like he's joined the army.
Yeah, he would have been, but not anymore. Hibbs is a shout.
Zarzewski would be
another shout. Yeah, Zarzewski's on my list.
Yeah, fine.
Should we put in Zarzewski for looking like the prince out of Shrek?
Well, you've also got to remember you've got Adam Jones and Duncan Jones.
Oh, yeah, Adam Jones.
Now, in some ways, Duncan Jones is even more ridiculous than Adam Jones because he was blonde.
Blonde.
Yeah.
And the other one is a hooker, Pulotta Now, with his afro.
Oh, yes.
He's quite cool.
Who?
Pulotta Now.
Pulotta Now, Australian.
Okay.
No, I couldn't remember the name. What was the name of the... I think he was at Toulon. I don't know if he still is. But yeah, I think he still is. The second row, who's got like a proper Last Samurai type head.
I know exactly who you mean, but I can't remember.
Oh, Ross Batty as well at hooker.
Oh, Ross Batty,
would be a new one with
his
new shave around the side, top knot.
He went from looking like Wurzel Gummidge to a trendy hipster. Looked like he'd just strolled out of a bush, sleeping in a hedge for a couple of months. Suter,
that's it. Yes. Who else have we got in the row?
Radiki Samo.
Oh, yes.
But he's a utility. Ooh, yeah. Second row, back row, wing. Yeah.
Who was the guy in
Big Buffon.
Bath? Was it? Oh, not. He moved to Exeter. Lots of tattoos. Horrendous hair. Well, I want to say Welsh.
Caldwell. Ryan Caldwell.
Caldwell.
Proud Ulsterman, don't you know?
Oh, they're all proud, mate.
Pride.
Proud.
Pride,
right.
Ulsterman.
So, I've got two rugby rugby cliches. One is the proud Ulsterman.
Yeah, you never hear Ulster fans described as anything
cowardly.
Other than proud. Proud
Here
Ulsterman.
The cowardly Ulsterman. And the other one is emotional hacker. I've never seen a non-emotional hacker. Look at that deadpan hacker.
But
we should do this because I bet there's other fans that are described in or other teams or fans or something that are always described in a particular way.
Well, there's always hardy Newcastle fans.
Yeah.
or long-suffering Newcastle fans.
Yeah.
And long-suffering Pro 12 fans.
So, yeah, if your fans are always described as something or there's other groups or players or whatever, then at Rugby Podcast, let us know and we'll add them to our little cliche list.
The hacker, though, it's like the multi-purpose tool. Funeral, yeah. Wedding.
Bar mitzvah. Yeah.
Bar mitzvah.
Throwing a quick hacker for a bar mitzvah.
First day at work, hacker. I bet Richie can't wait to start his job as a helicopter pilot so he gets an honorary hacker when he starts.
Yes.
Okay, back to the second row.
Yes.
So Suter and Radiki Samo.
Yes.
With honourable mentions to Paul Tito and Victor Matfield.
Nice.
Victor Matfield's got a great head of hair.
Back row.
Yes, he has, doesn't he? Daniel Leo.
Dan Leo had a big boof.
Leo, yeah. I think we should have Jerry Collins in here. For the Guinness.
Yeah.
The thing is with Jerry Collins, you then have to put in... what's his name is
Chris Massoi.
Chris Massoi as well
for doing it in one game. Josh Navidi's got an unusual haircut as well. Dreadlocks.
Dreadlock. He used to have like the 1990s Nirvana style undercut.
Oh my word, yeah. I didn't realise it was so bad.
Yeah, it's not pretty, is it?
It's not dreadlocks as such. Well, it is.
It is.
There you go. Scrum half.
I struggled with scrum half.
Yeah, I did.
Off. I've gone for
Pete Stringer.
The only one I mentioned this because now it's everyone has high and tight. But Danny Kerr was
the original for high and tight.
He was the original high and tight.
Yeah.
But it's so prevalent now.
The one I've gone for, that's not who I'm looking for. The one I've gone for is Sean Long, Rugby League scrum half.
Oh, yeah.
And he, at one stage, turned up with like a ridiculous beard and mohawk combination.
Mm. Oh, there. Wow.
Oh, God, he's had dreadlocks as well. Oh, he's had some horrendous haircuts.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, my God. Look at that one.
And this is what happens, isn't it, when no one tells you, like, you look stupid. When you're so good, you're beyond reproach.
For most people, what happens is you get to a certain age, and it's not an age, but just something happens at some point. You wake up one morning, and it's like, this is the hair I'm having for the rest of my life. There comes like a threshold when you never ever change your hair ever again.
Yes. You've had some interesting haircuts, though, Tim. In fact, we might have put you in at six because you don't have the Manchester Buffon.
Manchester Buffon.
Oh, when you had like in your early radio days, you had like the Oasis just over the ears.
Oh God, yeah.
What do you mean? God, yeah. That must have been a substantial part of your entire life.
I had a bit of a
Paul Weller,
a Britpop Weller type mop. Yeah. right, Andy Goode captain with his skull at 10.
I love the way that you that you presented to forget that. Bearing in mind, we know that you used to work in an indie station and it's a big part of your life and you somehow thought you could throw us off the scent.
I did at one stage have a blonde mohawk.
Did you?
Did you?
Yeah, at uni there was a tradition for the year-end game. All of the Lancaster boys would dye their hair blonde. Just shaved it into a mohawk for a while.
Lads. Right, Andy Goode's skullet at
Captain,
10.
Yeah.
Bastereau is a contender in the centre.
Yeah, you could have Bastereau and Nonu.
Whoa! Have you just,
and Nonu.
Hasn't Quade Cooper had some interesting styles?
Yes, he has.
He's just had interest in everything. Back at the Toulon side that comfortably won over the weekend.
Well, apparently the reason he wasn't in there is he was on holiday.
He was going back to Australia for a bit of a rest.
No, it doesn't sound very restful, does it? Like a week off and four days of that is spent flying.
Transit.
I mean, you've got to really like the A480.
And he had a tough World Cup. He had a tough World Cup. He played about 20 minutes in 7 weeks.
Quade could be in there. No, honourable mention. He doesn't look good with that little mullet there, does he?
No, in his early days.
Yeah, he looks a bit like Gavin Henson in that one.
He wished. Gavin Henson.
Gavin Henson!
Oh, yeah, speaking of bad
how
hair.
How did we miss Gavin Henson?
Well, we could slot him straight in at 12.
Now, let's talk about Gavin Henson.
His original hair. When it was like Peter Andre style slick curtains.
No, so he had slick. Well, he has had that. He's had like the Judderman, you know, the Mets Judderman, like silver pointy hair.
But by far
my favourite was like the Buffon. Like it was kind of bulbous. I mean, try find a picture of it. It was quite an amazing effort. He looks dashing there, doesn't he? Oh, look at that. He's about to pass the ball in that one.
No.
He looks good now. Doesn't he look good now, doesn't he?
Well, we need to... Hold on, right. That's just reminding me of something else we need to talk about in a second. Let's rattle through these. So we got... Okay. Let's go Henson and Bastereau in the centre.
Okay,
happy with that.
Wingers and full-back then.
I've gone for a back three of Julian Surveyor with his high and tight top knot.
Yeah.
Henry Speight with his afro.
Oh, yes.
And James O'Connor
stop,
at 15.
Stop.
You could have had the Honey Badger as well.
No.
Oh, Honey Badger.
With the James Milner Scudder?
Milner Scudder is too similar to Julian Surveyor.
He's all over the show.
The whole New Zealand backline just looked like.
Apart from Conrad Smith, the accountant.
They look like lads that you'd find in that bar in town.
Yes, exactly right.
You all know what I'm saying.
With their T-shirts that are just a little bit too small for them.
With a V-neck, really tight T-shirt.
My 15 was James O'Connor.
They'd be in a bar where the waitresses bring over a bottle of vodka, an oversized bottle of vodka with fireworks attached to the top.
After a big commission check from their recruitment consultancy job.
Yes, nailed it.
Bonus time, let's have some wings.
All right, wicked.
James O'Connor at 15, because at one point he had a braided
high and tight top knot.
Oh, and what about wow. Jack Noll?
Which is awful. Oh, Jack Noll!
Right, so Jack Noll was in the BT studios today. I kind of like made myself laugh a little bit. Because I was thinking, like, do you know when you go in for like hair and makeup? Do you think he goes in completely unmade up and he instructs the hair lady, can I have a tiny braid coming down here, please? This long bit's got to be braided. And then just a little bit more shaved up here. And she's completely baffled by the whole thing. Yeah. He brings in a picture of what he looks what he wants.
Look at that picture of Jack Noll from last year's Movember with a little moustache, a little pointy beard.
Just a tiny braid. Just a tiny braid.
And that blonde, streaky yeah. braided.
Oh, I completely forgot, Phil. I had a gift for you. I had the stat pack. I'll give it to you another time. So, but I wanted to let you know. So, BT Sport. So you get onto the bus. And you have your little production meeting and stuff. And, you know, Flats was there, Andy Good was there, Sarah.
Flats was there.
Elgan was there. Flats, yeah. And all the rest of it, Alistair Eakin. But they've got these printed out, these little stat packs, and I've brought you one before. Yeah. But here's what I wanted to let you know, Phil. I met the person who makes those stat packs, the like official rugby stat man, and I kind of thought there is a job.
Dream job.
I know you're getting on quite well as a quantity surveyor and all that, but there is a job out there as a rugby stat man.
I mean, I like construction, I like quantity surveying, but if I could just stare at rugby stats 9 to 5, oh, I'd do it more than 9 to 5,
wow.
Yeah. 7 days a week.
Usually see if the Twitter handle OptiPhil is available. we'll see if we can. Anyway, a man's got a dream.
You've
got
to be careful
he?
About being a stat man. Do you remember what happened to the Northampton stat man?
Oh, yes, I did. I read that.
What happened to the Northampton stat man?
The transcript from that the other day.
He got done for performance enhancing drugs.
What? Performance enhancing.
This is one of the most.
Like he was.
This is one of the
a stimulant that meant he could read more stats quicker.
No, he wasn't on cognitive drugs anything like that.
What should I just tell you? What did happen?
No, yeah, yeah.
Then you fabricating.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, let's go with facts.
So what did happen? He was an amateur player for Luton and did stats for Northampton on the side. He had been out on a Saturday night and done some drugs.
Ah, yes.
Some recreational drugs and played an academy game. He got called up to the bench because he was travelling with the team anyway. He was a player.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
They asked him to yes. sit as the 23rd man.
Yeah.
And he played 5 minutes at the end of the game.
Yeah.
After which he was asked to give a sample and his sample came back positive and he received a 2-year ban
yeah.
for that.
Can you imagine? I can't reconcile the consequences to the action.
Feel for him.
You mentioning Gavin Henson. Reminded me, we have to decide who is big sexy in the world of rugby now because another one of your favourite players, Mike Phillips, retired from international rugby. So in international rugby, who is making rugby sexy? Because rugby got a little less sexy when Mike Phillips
yes,
retired.
Yes, it did, but I don't think Mike Phillips can be replaced. It's like losing a child.
What about Mini Mike? Does he come close?
No, no one comes close. That's why he is Mike Phillips.
But you need to have what? So
because it's not just being good looking, which you know there's plenty of guys that are dashing. It's you've got to have that sort of
it's appeal. It's innate.
You've got to have that whatever it is that Mike yeah. Phillips
you've
got
to be
has
at
got.
Least
that
6'4". You've got to be unusually big and handsome for your position, and you've got to have an incredible arrest record outside of McDonald's in Cardiff. Those are our criteria.
That last one really narrows it down.
It does. It does. And he's not been arrested for anything. He's done anything wrong. He's been arrested for being too sexy.
I can just imagine Mike Phillips being like a kissogram.
Guilty. Like guilty
police,
officers.
A policeman kissogram.
In another set of criteria, who would assume Mike Phillips' mantle as making international rugby sexy? Wasn't there? Who's the underwear model that is a South African back player?
Oh, Francois Hugard.
Who? Yeah.
And his incredible girlfriend, fiance.
Yeah. I'm not even going to entertain this.
Sergio.
I'm not in the same league. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to entertain this.
Sergio. There's no one.
It's discussion.
There is no replacement.
There is no one. Not even Sergio.
Oh, what about JJ Engelbrecht? Even though he's not.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of.
He's not played international rugby for a little while.
And don't get me wrong, he's very handsome. But it's. I know what it is. It's how handsome Mike thinks he is as well. You've got to have that kind of regard. Yeah.
Well, what about.
You've got a strut and know
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That links it. So there's a good story this week. Tom Evans played in the Dubai Sevens, not in the international competition, but in the...
Isn't he retired?
He retired in 2010 because of a serious neck injury. And also
just because being exhausted by Kelly Brook.
He spent a few years being an underwear model slash Kelly Brook's plaything and has now come back to playing rugby.
Good for him.
Scored 2 tries on his return to sevens. He could, if he makes it back, he could replace. Could be the replacement.
Well, no. No, he couldn't. But
no one could.
Lots of people will try, and you'll all fail.
I would personally have Jamie Cudmore.
No. Sorry.
Look at him, though.
He's just a brute, isn't he?
Actually, do you know what? Jamie Cudmore is one of those guys. I was thinking about this when I was sort of sat on the as a reporter for BT. I was sat kind of behind the Northampton bench, and so Kieran Brooks sat right in front of me, and so I saw the mass of the man, and I actually thought. It's like Kieran Brooks, and I'd say Jamie Cudmore's another one that they're kind of guys that if we went back to a sort of primal caveman type society where the biggest and strongest just take what they want and they win, Kieran Brooks and Jamie Cudmore would be the kind of guys that just have like a harem of women going out and collecting berries and nuts for them.
They would run the show.
They would just run the show. Right, back to the rugby then. Quins.
I'm really impressed by Quins. Mm. I still can't make out if they're good or not.
They are good.
They are good, aren't they? They play nice flowing rugby. I wonder if they've got a bit of a soft underbelly, though.
We'll see in the coming months, but everything that I've seen from them this season is positive. Don't forget, they've not got to fight the Champions Cup battle. So they can...
Very true.
They can rest people for the Challenge Cup and they do need their team up.
I think they need to as well, because I don't think their strength and depth is that impressive. I also think having players that have been terminally injured, it feels like... I'll give you an example. George Lowe is a tremendous player.
Definitely one.
But he's always been injured. But when he does play, he's very exciting.
And they've still got Jamie Roberts to make his debut.
Not
featured yet.
He's playing this week
in the varsity.
In the varsity match, yeah. That Jamie Roberts has probably the most secure role at the moment in rugby. Imagine the Cambridge coach going, thanks Jamie, but we're gonna go with that little runt instead of your ridiculously big jawline and 6'4", 18 stone.
I know I've said it before, but if you're if you're uneducated to rugby, and there's not many uneducated people in Cambridge, but if you're not au fait with rugby and you hear that there's a superstar Welsh international, you're going to be disappointed with Jamie Roberts, because when there's nothing on, he'll make 3 yards, and when it's all open, he'll also make 3 yards. He'll guarantee you 3 yards, but that's it.
He'll get over the game line.
He'll be very efficient. You've got to be a bit of an aficionado to appreciate Jamie Roberts.
What does he do when he does he? I think about it. You can't think of many occasions where he's been in open space in front of him.
Well, these players play him on the wing.
He started on the wing,
fullback, and then Gatland, because he's very clever, decided to put him to 12.
Yeah.
What a masterful coach he is.
But this game, it's highlighted the strength of Harlequins, but it's also highlighted the weaknesses of London Irish.
Yeah.
I mean, Irish had 17% possession in this game.
Oh my word.
It was 38-0 until the 79th minute, and they scored to make it... Well, it's not even respectable, but it finished 38-7.
Yeah, they got problems.
Reserve 10.
They have got problems. Tom Coventry is realising how... difficult the Aviva Premiership is.
Yes.
Well, also, I mean,
I would just like to point out, you've been heavily critical of Dean Ryan in the past. And he's doing a pretty decent job at Worcester.
Okay.
And you've always described Tom Coventry. Oh, London Irish will come good. They've got a great coaching setup.
They've got a great coach. He's from a good system.
Oh, from six.
I mean, we don't really know if he's a good coach because he's never had the head role before. But his CV stacks up.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And he worked under one of the best coaches in New Zealand, in Dave Rennie. So you can assume that he's going to be okay. Dean Ryan got relegated, let's not forget. And Dean Ryan Dean Ryan, who obviously relies on his academy, is also the same man that wanted to spend how much money on Manitoulaye? 1.5 over 4 years?
Oh, yeah, we completely forgot to mention that. Signed up.
No, he's not.
He hasn't re-signed.
This is going to come back to haunt Leicester. It really is. And that statement's going to come back to haunt me.
Yeah.
there are certain players, Manitoulaye is one, and the other one is Corbett Sierra, where they're being paid big money not to play.
Tom Croft.
Tom Croft, yeah, that's a great shout. And I think what's going to happen is, are these directors of rugby who give big money to players that don't play are going to really find it difficult keeping their job.
But they can come back, like Matthew Tate's one who came back.
Oh, I'm not saying they can't come back side. At all. Yeah. What I'm saying is, for the amount of money which you sign these players for, what we're looking at for Manu Tuilagi, that's a sizeable chunk of your salary cap.
$450,000 is the alleged deal that he signed.
It's a huge amount.
Yeah. It's
nearly 1/12 of your entire salary cap.
Mm. So we've got problems for London Irish. Steve Diamond, it's not a problem. Sale are competitive, but I don't know if they're... I think they're always just going to be a mid-table team.
Well, yes, perhaps.
They've not got the fan base to propel them any further, I would suggest. If they're only getting 4,000 fans, I don't know what they could do to get consistently more than 10,000 fans.
If I could get there, and the tickets weren't £35 each, what is a ticket? It's about 30 quid, isn't it?
No, I don't think it's that much.
25, 30, yeah. And you can't get there.
Yeah, that is an issue.
Well, no, it's become easier since less people have been going. It has.
Yeah, so the market always
fun,
yeah.
It's a good tactic, that.
We've got a problem with getting all of our fans in and out. What can we do? Well, let's make it so unappealing that half of them don't come back.
Yeah, we'll play really boring rugby.
I admire what Sale managed to do, yes, like we all do.
I do, but I think you're right. They'll be limited to mid-table.
But this Gloucester team is allegedly a good team. I'm not sure if they are yet. And this is an away performance. So our two away performances, one at Quinns, one at Gloucester. And they've nearly come away with the win both times, which I think is really impressive. But before they used to get battered away and then scrape a few wins at home.
What's played into Sale's hands both times is that the weather has been pretty awful on those Friday night games.
Great work with the team.
But yeah, they are. Simple game plan. They play it well.
But the worry for them is that they're just going to have Tommy Taylor and then Mike Haley, Josh Beaumont, Ross Harrison. These players will be plucked away. And I don't even think it's money. I think if you were Tommy Taylor and you go, oh, I could go down the road to that team that are just 15,000 people playing at beating Toulon.
Yes.
Yeah. So Steve Diamond in the rain, in Sale.
Chasing after me with his Alsatian.
Exactly. Yeah, because he does that. That isn't a joke. He keeps his Alsatian.
I really like that. I've got time for Steve Diamond.
Be looked after by someone like Mike Ford and Bruce Craig in lovely Bath. Hmm. And by the way, it doesn't sound like Kennedy is much fun to work for either.
He's trying to sell the club, so we'll watch this. We'll watch that. Space
how much have we got between us?
I don't know. Could we cobble together a consortium? Is that the Premiership done?
I think so.
I think we've finally got it. The Super Rugby starting soon, and we mentioned it briefly earlier. We should do a quick stash update.
Yes.
The New Zealand sides have put their kit forward. If you're to rank the kits, I like the Hurricanes one. Very simple.
Yes and no. So yes, I thought I like the Hurricanes one too, because I thought
I like the simplicity of it. Well, black across the shoulders, yellow body.
Unfortunately, you're wrong. It's yellow across the shoulders, and that black looks like it's like a shiny black.
I think it
and
might.
I loved it. I think it's a pattern.
Is it?
Yeah, look.
Oh, there is a bit.
It's grey, which makes it look shiny. And I don't like that. But I thought if that's like a really gloss black, I'm into that.
There's some of the other ones are a bit busy for me.
Well,
the Chiefs like Maori detail.
But there again, the Chiefs do have. Traditionally quite a busy kit, so I'm not too fussed about that.
I quite like that.
The Blues one's nice.
The Blues and the Crusaders, they've just copied Saracens kits.
Mm. Yeah.
They've gone for the blended from the short, so red into black and
It just blue gives into the impression
blue.
Of a really high waistline.
Yeah.
It does.
Like you've got your shorts pulled right up to your rib cage.
Here's a question, right? A stupid question. And it must be in the rules somewhere. That blended one. It's designed so it looks like the kit is a single thing. So why aren't they playing rugby in basically leotards now? Because grabbing a shirt is one of the easiest things in the world. So if you didn't have to tuck it in, would that not be an advantage?
We don't tuck shirts in now, do you? The match fit ones.
Not really, because they're just sort of fitted and they just cut off.
It's a two-man job getting it off.
It is.
Yeah.
But leotard.
Yeah. Why not?
If you've got two men to do it anyway, you might as well put them in a leotard.
No one actually uses the shorts to lift. It's only like in really low grade rugby when you get old men grabbing the waistband of the shorts to lift.
That is
the
one thing I do not accept as a coach. I do not like to see anyone grabbing shorts in lineouts. I hate it, either underneath or on top.
And if they were wearing a leotard, you could really see the definition of their physique.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember being in a
leotard?
In a club in London, and Ugo Monier walked in a Lycra cat suit.
Were you joking?
I'm not joking. I am.
Like a morph suit thing.
Like a morph suit thing.
Yeah.
Why have you never shared this story with us before?
You could see every fibre.
I think you have. It was the church.
It was the church.
I think you have mentioned that before.
Yeah.
No,
it's a fancy dress end of season do thing.
Right. So.
But you would, if you were Ugo, you would. I'd go down for a pint of milk to the corner shop in a cat suit if I looked like that.
Fine day for it. Okay, so which professional sports team first played in a leotard in a major tournament? Basically a leotard.
Was it like Cameroon football team?
It was Cameroon football team. I think it was the same kit which had cut off sleeves.
Yeah, that Puma vest.
Yeah, it is hard. The only downside with the leotard is, I guess, it's hard for the fans to wear the replica kit.
Right, we should get on to the rugby for this weekend coming, because we've got European Champions Cup. Again, we apologise if you were a fan of a team in the European
Challenge
Cup.
No, we don't. Your team should be better. It's your own fault.
Well, no, I'd say it's when you look at the teams that get picked, if you can't take it seriously, then why should we? That's what we've said. So,
if your team's good, we all talk about them. Otherwise, we're not interested.
We famously don't take the game too seriously.
Yes, exactly. Quite right.
And we're not taking the competition seriously.
We're not taking the Challenge Cup too seriously. We are taking the European Cup very, very seriously. And we mentioned at the start the woes of Bath and the big fixture they've got. Let's start with that double header.
Yeah, they're all double.
Should we do it in chronological order? Because that's how our list is.
Okay, go on then.
Okay, Friday night, this is going to be a big win at Raisin Hill
for someone.
for Ulster.
I actually think this is going to be quite tight. Toulon aren't the force they want to were.
Toulouse. And it's not Toulonnais.
They're in the new coaches. I don't think they've quite got a grip of what they want to do yet. And also Ulster at home, and they're not bad at home. I think it will be a narrow Toulouse win.
Fingers crossed for an Ulster win. Picked up a couple more injuries this week.
A bit more Storm Desmond going from one end to the other at Ravenhill.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, Toulouse won't be used to playing in those conditions.
Who decides the names of storms? Do you know?
The Met Office.
Yeah, it's a very recent thing, isn't it?
Desmond's not a bad name, but I do feel for people that lose property to weekly named storms.
Storm Abigail.
Ugh, pathetic.
Destroyed my house. damn you, Abigail. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Ulster at home, we're all saying that. We're all agreed.
I'm going to go Ulster at home.
Yes, thank you, Tim. Okay. Then Pool 2 on the Saturday. This is not necessarily in chronological order, but it's just as we're reading. Exeter host Clermont.
Wow!
I have no idea. Last time I saw Clermont, they looked rubbish.
But they did rest quite a few players against Toulon.
But why would they do that? And they were at home, so it's hard to get a gauge on them.
This is it for Exeter. Like, again, we said this when they had Toulon in the group stages before. This is what it's all about.
I am going to go for... I'm going to put my neck out there and say... No, I'm not. I think it's going to be a Clermont win, a narrow Clermont win.
Ooh.
I just can't see him doing it. There again, I couldn't see him beating Wasps by, 20 points, so...
Yeah, comfortable.
I know. I'm going to give Exeter the benefit of the doubt. I am going to go with Exeter.
I'm going to say Clermont. But I think that'd be a great game.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Then at the same time as that, also in Pool 2, we've got Ospreys versus Bordeaux. Possibly Adam Ashley Cooper's first game.
Mm. That kit's nice, by the way, Bordeaux Bagels. Have a look at that this weekend. It's really quite nice.
Yeah, like white and maroon.
Little maroon chevron on the front. I like it.
It looks great on their great on their props. particularly Patrick, whatever his name is. Ospreys for me.
Ospreys at home. Then Glasgow Scarlets. Now, Glasgow's game was postponed because of torrential rain. Thank you, Desmond. So we'll see if that game's actually on. But you'd have to back Glasgow at home.
Yeah.
And in the same pool, Racing host Northampton.
Racing.
Dean Carter.
Yes, Dean Carter, who I don't think he was involved this weekend,
no.
From what I've seen.
I'll go for Racing
at home.
Yeah, I don't think Northampton are playing good rugby, full stop.
Now, Northampton's pack, though.
Their defence is superb, and their set piece is good, so...
But they're not scoring tries, are they?
Then on to Pool 4.
Yes.
Treviso host Stade Francais.
Nice.
Pirice back in Italy to win. Stade Francais will win that.
Yep.
And then Munster host Leicester. And Munster got hammered by the Dragons this weekend, 22-6.
Yeah, but I looked at the Munster team sheet before they went out. I didn't really recognise many of the players, to be fair.
I think that you could say that for a lot of games this season for Munster, there's not... They've not got the huge names that, say,
Leinster
or even Ulster.
I went through the Dragons Munster team sheets today. Honestly, must have known about three players from both teams. And like one of them was Tom, what's his name? The old hooker for Wales, who I can't even remember his name now. and Boris Stankovic.
Stankovic.
You know, like the old prop from Tigers.
Yeah.
So
I think Leicester have got a good chance.
I think Leicester will win that, and I think they'll probably win it comfortably.
Yeah, and that could put, because Leicester, I think they've got two bonus points wins so far against Stade and Treviso. This could, if Leinster win that double header against Munster, that should put them definitely through.
Yeah, I think Munster a year or two away from becoming a real force again.
Yep. Last three games onto the Sunday. Oyonna host Saracens. Saracens. Then. Toulon host Leinster. Leinster, who've just had a week off because it was them supposed to be playing.
Toulon, who just battered another team. Put 50 points on with Mar Nonu in their side.
Yeah. Drew Mitchell scored a couple of tries.
Drew Mitchell, yeah, when you look at the internationals in their team. Yeah.
Which leads into the final game, one we wanted to talk about.
Oh, yes.
Wasps host Bath. Wasps will have Nathan Hughes and Haskell back in that back row with George Smith, which is a brilliant back row. And they'll have Simpson back. And it'll be interesting to see whether they start Gopeth or Jackson. Because Jackson's been playing very well when
Gopeth had a bit of a mare.
Yeah, Gopeth's not having the best season. So I would start Jackson based on what I've seen.
I'm going to go on a limb and say this is going to be a big win for Wasps. I'm thinking 15 points plus.
I'm also going to go Wasps.
I'm going to go Wasps. I don't think it'll be by 15 points, but no, I'm going to go Wasps.
Bath, we said it last week, Bath have got to start turning their season around because they're not playing well. They're not playing like we know they can play. But Wasps at home with their big names back.
Difficult times for Bath.
Yeah.
Tricky times. We could look back on this and go, do you remember when? Because they will come back.
But yes. Yeah.
But yeah. Wasps is a terrible place to do it.
Yeah.
Mind you, Wasps, I must have had their confidence shaken this weekend also.
Yeah, Dai Young described it as a wake-up call and a, like, you know, everyone's been talking us up, but this is feet firmly back on the ground. We've got a lot to do.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man, what a weekend of rugby we have got. And we'll be back after it to talk all about it. In the meantime, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, tell your mates. We don't have a radio station or a television network or a billboards and adverts to shout about the podcast. And we do pretty well. We punch above our weight, bearing in mind that it's just you and us, and that's it. So tell your mates, let them know where we are. iTunes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And Acast at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Philip.
Cheers, Tim.